Oh, hi. Nice to meet you.
Last week, I met Layla Chen. She runs a small cafe and grocery store in my neighborhood in Brooklyn. It's called Maya Kanji Cafe.
It smells incredible in here.
Okay. Yeah, we use a lot of spices. That's kind of like our thing. So you kind of have to like.
The shop is red and yellow. The shelves are stocked with spices. You can smell ground coffee. And the menu is full of Asian food, like banh mi sandwiches. But the thing I was there to talk with her about was a handwritten sign next to the cash register. It asks customers to pay in cash if possible. You've probably seen one of these signs before. A lot of small shops put them up. Because every time someone uses a credit card, businesses like Layla's get charged a fee on each transaction. It's usually around 2 to 3%.
I mean, how much, you know, you've had this business open for 5 years. How much money do you think you've spent on these fees over that time?
Let me do some math on it, right? So I don't know. I'm just going to do like a year.
Layla did some math on her phone.
Yeah, $7,000 on a business that's like between $250,000 to $500,000.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good chunk. Like I could upgrade my, you know, AC. I could, you know, go on a vacation.
Layla isn't alone. Businesses, big and small, have been frustrated by these fees for a long time, and there hasn't been much they could do about it. But now, some lawmakers want to change that. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Monday, September 19th. Coming up on the show, the fight over credit card fees.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Our colleague Anna Maria Andriotis covers the credit card industry.
How interested are you in credit cards as a general topic?
Okay, I'm very interested. I remember when I was first assigned to this beat and I was worried that it was going to be boring. And I quickly learned that there is nothing boring about the plastic or metal credit cards that we all have in our pockets. It's quite the opposite. There's a lot of drama in this industry.
Do you think anybody thinks about this as much as you do?
Millions of people every day on all the purchases they make definitely do not think about the mechanics, the battles that play out behind the scenes pretty much every time that they tap or insert their credit card at a terminal.
Americans love credit cards. Most people have 3 to 5. Cards offer rewards points, and they make it so much easier to spend.
You don't feel the pain of buying something for $100 when you just tap or insert your credit card the way you would feel that pain if you have to literally pull the cash out of your pocket, out of your wallet.
Right, because I just know, like, if I have, like, you know, $50 in my wallet, it's painful to, like, take those dollars out and be like, oh, well, now I only have $5 left, and it feels like maybe I don't want to part with this money. But, like, swipe, swipe,
right.
Swipe.
You think about it more.
$200, great.
Exactly.
Over the past few years, people have been using cash less. This is something Layla's noticed in her store.
When you set up the business, at what point did you start putting up signs like we prefer cash?
I think during COVID, yeah. Well, I think because not during, but like after the quarantine, because people started not to, like, they're like scared of cash because it had like bacteria on it or whatever. Then I noticed that our cash transactions have dropped tremendously. Before, we used to have like at least 20 to 30% cash transactions, and now we have like less than 10%.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge, you know, for a small business.
For businesses like Layla's, credit cards are a mixed blessing. Letting your customers use them makes it easier for them to spend more. But there's a downside, those fees. Typically, they're set by the two networks that dominate the credit card industry, Visa and MasterCard.
As a small business who's like operating on a daily, so for somebody who just comes in like, hey, I have a service and you just pay me 3%, you know, whatever, something average, it just feels like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're the person that's doing the hard work to get the sales to be what they are.
I'm doing all the work and then I have to give you a percentage? I think a percentage is like outrageous.
That 2 to 3% credit card fee is split a few different ways. There's the so-called interchange fee, which is the biggest amount and that goes to the banks, the ones actually lending you the money. And then there's another fee that goes to the networks, like Visa and MasterCard, which provide the infrastructure that the whole system runs over. Here's Anna Maria again.
The biggest chunk of that goes to the bank. Then you have about 0.25% that goes to the network.
The network being Visa or MasterCard.
Yeah.
So Visa and MasterCard are just kind of like, they're providing the plumbing.
That's right.
For the system.
Well, they're not only plumbing, they also set the rules. They set the rules for the merchants. They set the rules for the banks. Banks can't really go out and negotiate deals directly with merchants outside of those co-branded credit cards. It is the networks that set the rules, period.
If your credit card has the MasterCard logo, it means it's running over MasterCard's network, and likewise for Visa. These companies decide most of the fees. And even if that's only a small percentage, it adds up to a lot of money for Visa and MasterCard and the banks that issue credit cards on their networks.
In interchange fees alone, merchants paid $55 billion to issuers of credit cards on the Visa and MasterCard network last year.
Visa and MasterCard say these fees are necessary for them to continue innovating and to provide enhanced security features. And for a long time, this system has worked well for them. And for banks. But businesses are fed up.
Good luck if you are a small merchant or even like a large merchant, but not among the largest in the country or in the world. Good luck trying to lower those fees. That's just not going to happen.
There are other network providers like American Express and Discover. But businesses can't just use Discover's network to route a Visa credit card. If they want to accept Visa cards, they have to use Visa's network and pay the fees that Visa sets.
How do these credit card fees in the U.S. compare to other countries? Is it pretty much the same around the world?
No, it's not, actually. In Europe, interchange fees, for the most part, have been capped. In Australia, that's also the case. So in many Western industrialized countries, interchange fees on credit cards have been capped.
Why are the fees so much higher in America?
The U.S. is a very credit-centric market. There's a lot of consumer demand to shop with credit cards. The banks have continued to roll out more and more rewards credit cards. At the same time, in a market where there has been no government intervention to regulate the fees.
But now, two new bills aim to change all that and shake up the credit card market. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Every now and then, Visa and MasterCard raise credit card fees. And after a brief pause during the pandemic, some of these started going up again this spring.
Credit card swipe fees, they're going up, costing businesses and eventually you too.
Credit card giants Visa and MasterCard raised their interchange rates, also called swipe fees, last month.
For a very long time, businesses have been eating these fees. But that's starting to change because these fees are becoming costlier for merchants and eating into their profits. And many merchants do run off of slim profit margins to begin with. What is becoming more and more common is consumers are increasingly seeing merchants implement surcharges. Essentially, if you pay with your credit card, I will charge you, the consumer, 2% or 3% extra. Merchants are increasingly offloading the cost of accepting credit cards onto the consumer.
Earlier this year, a group of lawmakers led by Democratic Senator Richard Durbin and Republican Senator Roger Marshall decided to go after these fees and the impact they have on businesses and consumers.
Senator Durbin and other congressional members sent a letter to the CEO of Visa and to the CEO of MasterCard, telling them, do not move forward with these fee increases, especially at a time when inflation is impacting small businesses and consumers.
In May, Durbin held a hearing on fees and competition in the industry.
When swipe fees on credit and debit cards go up, as they just recently did, it increases inflation. And consumers ultimately pay the price.
Durbin questioned representatives from Visa and MasterCard during the hearing. Here's MasterCard's president for North America, Linda Kirkpatrick, in her opening statement.
Our rates seek to incentivize both card issuance by banks and card acceptance by merchants. Without these rates, more than 90 million merchants would need individual contracts with thousands of banks, which would be impractical.
After the hearing, lawmakers proposed two bills, one in the House and another in the Senate, that would loosen the hold that Visa and MasterCard have over the credit card market. So what do these bills propose to do?
What this is aiming to do is to insert more competition into the credit card marketplace in a way that, according to the architects, will hopefully lead to price reductions for merchants.
The idea is that businesses could choose which networks to route payments through, so they could offer one that offers lower fees than Visa or MasterCard.
This bill would require that banks with, in this case, more than $100 billion in assets, enable their credit cards to be routed over at least one unaffiliated network than Visa or MasterCard.
So in other words, it sounds like this bill is trying to create competition in the marketplace so that if you want to accept a Visa credit card, Visa is not the only option for how to route that plumbing kind of behind the scenes.
That's exactly it.
Last week, retailers including Walmart and Target wrote a letter in support of the bill. In it, they said, quote, "As members of the retail community and champions of the free market, we typically do not support government intervention, except in cases where a market is not functioning. That is the case with the credit card marketplace in the United States." End quote. Visa and MasterCard say that consumers do have a choice to pay in cash or through systems like Venmo or Zelle that link to checking accounts. They also say that they haven't raised interchange fees for many years prior to 2022. The Electronic Payments Coalition, which represents banks and networks, says this bill would lead to less secure transactions and chip away at credit card rewards.
Big banks are already warning that if the credit card fee system is tinkered with, rewards will become less generous. So there is that question hanging over the credit card system right now, which is, whether it's this bill or some other threat that materializes into like a real change in the way that the credit card fee system works, will credit card rewards remain as generous for consumers as they have been?
What's the likelihood that these bills pass?
Some people say this is a long shot. Others think that there's a decent possibility that this gets inserted into a much broader bill, maybe even one that has nothing to do with payments, that has broad bipartisan support and gets enacted into law in that way. There are a growing number of challenges and threats to the fee model that Visa and MasterCard have had in place for decades that have served, like, that have really underpinned the credit card market as we know it. Visa and MasterCard are extremely powerful companies, and it is very, very possible that the way we know the system to be could be, this could be the case for decades to come. It's also possible that just as there have been government interventions in other parts of the world that have regulated the way that the system works in Europe and elsewhere, that we could see some forms of that play out here in the U.S., leading to changes in the credit card system.
That's all for today, Monday, September 19th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.